Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
This morning, we're going to be speaking on Abram's big lie. You wouldn't think a hero of faith like Abraham would lie, but he did. And he told a big lie. It was a big one. And he didn't just tell it once, he told it several times. If you study through the book of Genesis, it was a lie that he kept using. So Abram's big lie, Genesis 12, 10 through 20. So we'll go ahead and read verse 10, and then we'll pray and we'll begin. Verse 10 says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray that you would please bless us and help us to focus on your word and help us to receive what we need to get out of your word. And I do pray that you would forgive me for my sins and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I pray for all these that you would forgive us and fill us. We pray for the children's ministry that you will bless and give us all what we need. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So, the first thing we see is the problem. The problem. In verse 10 of Genesis chapter 12 says, "There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." So, apparently in Egypt, they had everything they needed. They had food and what they needed, and where Abraham was in the promised land, there was a famine. And I've heard some preachers preach that Abraham should have never gone to Egypt. I'm not sure that that's correct. There was a famine, and Abraham seemed to live by faith the way that we live by faith. You know, Abraham seemed to just deal with circumstances as they came. For instance, we studied last week how God had commanded Abraham to get out of his country and go into the land that God would show him. But Abraham waited basically until his father said, "Let's move," before he moved. And nonetheless, he moved. Then he waited until his dad died. And so now there's a famine. So he does what any normal person would do. If you run out of food, you go somewhere where there's food. Amen? That's what people do. And I've heard preachers really get on Abraham and say how wicked he was for going into Egypt where there was food. But I wonder what they would do if they ran out of food. So this is what Abraham did. He goes to Egypt and he's not planning to stay there. He's just going to sojourn there, to stay there for a little while and until the famine's over. And then we see that there's a ploy, the ploy. And this is the ploy that Abraham came up with. "And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, 'Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon.'" So his wife was very pretty. "And therefore it shall come to pass," verse 12, "when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." Now, what Abraham said here, this is kind of an interesting thing. This man's wife apparently was so attractive that he figured they were just going to kill him and take his wife. Kind of a strange thing, but that's what he believed. And so he came up with this ploy. "You tell them that you're my sister." Now, this was actually partially true, because in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 12, Abraham explains it when he tried this lie again. He says, "And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife." So Abraham married his half-sister, which we would find to be repulsive. But at that time, it was not against God's law and apparently was not repulsive either. So, Abraham had married his half-sister, and So he just said, don't tell them you're my wife, just say you're my sister, and then they won't kill me. So verse 14, and it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. So the Egyptians also thought that she was beautiful. This was, you know, there are times when you just think something's pretty. Like some people, everybody thinks their babies are beautiful. Not all babies are beautiful. Some babies are ugly. But everybody thinks their babies are beautiful. But in this case, the Egyptians also thought his wife was very fair. Verse 15, the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. So they told Pharaoh, man, there's this really gorgeous woman that's come into our country, and she and her brother are here. And Pharaoh said, well, bring her into the house. So they did. Verse 16, and he entreated Abraham well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. So the Pharaoh was rich. He was like Trump. He was rich, very rich. And he gave Abram a bunch of stuff and said, I'll give you all this stuff. I'd like your sister. I want to take her and make her part of my harem or whatever he had. So he did that. So apparently he was successful in getting Sarai, and the scheme, the ploy goes on. But then there was a plague. There was a plague. Verse 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And so God wasn't pleased with the fact that Pharaoh had taken Sarai because she was Abram's wife. And therefore, he sent a plague on Pharaoh's house, and it says there was great plagues. And then we'll look at the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. So Pharaoh, in this instance, was a man of more integrity than Abraham was. Abraham's a great hero of faith, yet he lied. He told this big lie. And Pharaoh said, why didn't you just tell me the truth? Pharaoh said, if you'd told me she was your wife, I wouldn't have taken her to be my wife. But you didn't tell me she was your wife. You lied. And so he says, take your wife and go away. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And so we see several things from this passage that we're going to look at in summary. First of all, we see that Abram's lie brought a plague on Pharaoh's house. His lie brought a plague on Pharaoh's house. Now, this is supposed to be a man of God. This is supposed to be a good man, a hero of the faith, and indeed he is a hero of the faith, and yet he told a lie, and that lie brought a plague on Pharaoh's house. Well, there's a worse plague that it brought than the plague that it actually brought. It brought a physical plague, but it also brought a plague to the name and testimony of Abraham. And that's the second thing we see, that Abram's lie brought a bad testimony before Pharaoh. Now, we as believers need to think about what we do and how we live. And a lot of times, lying, I mean, I lie. Everybody here lies. If you don't lie, then that's wonderful. But most of us, I would say, tell lies. Anybody never lied before? Okay? We we lie. And Johnny's probably the only person that doesn't lie because he just tells you whatever he thinks, you know. But nonetheless, what I'm saying is that the way we live can bring a bad testimony and can make us look bad. You lie about something and then somebody finds out and they say, well, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were a member of Harmony Baptist Church. When we lie, when we curse, when we do things that we shouldn't do, it brings a bad testimony on the church. And more importantly, it brings a bad testimony to the Lord, because you're going around saying, I'm a Christian. That's why it's so important that we try to live right and we try to treat people right and to do right. Because if we don't do that, then when we witness, our testimony loses its power because of what we do. And I feel guilty about this myself, so I'm assuming that some of you need to hear this as well. So Abram, if a man like Abram, who was a great hero of the faith, could just so flippantly, there's a famine in the land, he goes to a foreign land, to Egypt, and he just creates this plot. This is a man who's trusting God, God told him to leave his home and to go to a land that he'll show him. So Abraham trusts God and he leaves, and then there's a famine and he goes to Egypt, and immediately he quits trusting God and he hatches a plan and says, well, they're going to kill me if I don't lie, and so I'm going to lie. Which brings us to our third point. Abram's lie was unnecessary. A lot of times we think it's necessary to do whatever we do in order to get out of a situation or accomplish our goals, when in fact it turns out to be completely unnecessary. Was it necessary for Abram to lie? Apparently Pharaoh told him, why didn't you just tell me the truth? You told me the truth, we wouldn't have done anything to your wife. Pharaoh was not going to kill Abram, we assume. This was just a fear that Abram had. And a lot of things that we decide we need to lie about or that we need to cover up are fears that we have. You know, sometimes when I'm teaching a lesson, somebody will ask a question, especially on Wednesday night. And I have had to develop the habit, if I don't know, of saying, I don't know. I'll look it up. There are some preachers. I knew a preacher that wouldn't come. We had a Bible Institute, and he wouldn't come to the Bible Institute, even though he didn't know what was being taught. He didn't want to look ignorant because he's the pastor, so he's supposed to look like he knows everything. So he refused to come to the Bible Institute classes lest he would appear to be ignorant. Now, that's foolish. Nobody knows everything. I had a friend I used to work with that had a photographic memory. So he would read the Old Testament, memorize details, and then he would try and make you feel like you're an idiot. He would ask you a question about so-and-so, how many mighty men did David have? How many? And he would do these kind of questions, and when you couldn't answer it, then he would tell you. And then he read Wikipedia all the time and had all these details about all kinds of things. Half the stuff on there is wrong anyway, but he would do that. You don't have to know everything about everything. It's not your job to know that. Only God knows that. It doesn't matter if you don't know something. Admit it. Just admit you don't know it. We need to maintain a good testimony. Abram's lie was unnecessary. Now, the fourth thing we see is that God uses men with flaws. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that God used Noah even though he got drunk? Aren't you glad that God used Abraham even though he lied? Aren't you glad that God used Samson even though he had a weakness? Aren't you glad that God uses people that have problems? Because if God didn't use people that had problems, he wouldn't have anyone to use. He's created people, and he's created people that have hang-ups and problems and weaknesses, and God uses those people. And God uses me, and God uses you, and I'm glad of that. And so, in summary, look at the life of Abraham this morning. Abraham's big lie, yet God still used Abraham. Abraham got caught. He got embarrassed. It didn't stop him from telling this lie. He told it again later on. We'll read about it. But nonetheless, God used Abraham, and God will use you if you'll yield to God, if you'll follow God. And so let's just yield our lives to God and follow God, and God will use us in His service. You don't have to be perfect to serve God. You have to be available.